Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I am your host, Tony Serino, and this is your daily dose of all things Steelers. Today on the show, my rapid reaction to that Steelers loss to the Denver Broncos, 17-24. Brings the Steelers record to 7-3-1 on the year. Puts them still atop the AFC North, although things got a little closer this week with the Ravens beating the Oakland Raiders. The Ravens now are 6-5. The Steelers also moved down in the standings to fourth in the AFC, where they were second coming into the week, with the Patriots winning and the Texans still to play tonight. The Steelers are now currently the fourth seed, although they would be the third seed if the Texans were to lose to the Titans tonight. This was a strange football game. We're going to talk a lot about it. I know you guys are frustrated out there. I have a lot to say on this one. Probably not the same kind of things you guys are saying. I honestly, it's such a strange game. It's hard for me to really be upset about it, but we'll talk all about it here in a second. Welcome to the show. I am your host, Tony Serino. You can find more of this podcast by going to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, wherever you find podcasts. Search Locked On Steelers. Hit that subscribe button, and you will get your daily dose. You can follow me on Twitter at Steeler Country. You can like us on Facebook, search Locked On Steelers. You can like the Facebook page, or you can join the Facebook group. And you can now find us on Instagram at Locked On Steelers. I want to start today with the injury report coming out of this one. Marcus Gilbert did not play at the right tackle position because of his knee injury. He's been out since the bye week. Nor did Matt Filer, the backup right tackle who's been playing in place of Marcus Gilbert. He had a pectoral injury he suffered against the Jaguars. He practiced late in the week, wasn't good enough for him to go. So it was Okorafor, the rookie right tackle, who got the start in this one. Defensive end Stephon Tuitt did not play in this game because of that elbow injury that's kept him out the past couple weeks. There was some optimism that he might be able to play, but he didn't practice all week, and so he was not able to go as well. And then there were three injuries that happened in the game. TJ Watt left the game with a wrist injury. He came back and was good to go. Bud Dupree left the game with a shoulder injury or some sort of arm injury, but he came back in and was fine. And then Vance McDonald left the game with a hip injury, but was able to return as well. So all three of those players seem to be good to go. We'll find out from Tomlin if any of those injuries end up being more significant than they appear. But it seems like the Steelers come out of this game again relatively healthy. And then let's talk about that Steelers loss to the Denver Broncos. The Steelers lose 17-24 in Mile High Stadium in one of the craziest games you will ever watch. I know Steeler Country is angry right now. I get the frustration out there. I've read your tweets. I've read the messages on the Facebook page. I got to be honest, though. I just don't relate. I'm not frustrated coming out of this one. I'm not angry. I'm not ready to scream and yell about the run-pass ratio or the Steelers playing down to their opponent or any of that, really. I'm not even angry about this loss in any way as a Steeler fan. I mean, I'm disappointed the Steelers lost and couldn't continue that winning streak to seven games. It would have been a big win for the Steelers if they had gotten it. It would have moved them to a half game out of home field advantage in the AFC and would have kept them in spot for the bye week. Certainly means that the bye week is much tougher to get now that they lost this game to the Broncos. And that, to me, is the real disappointment coming out of it. Because I got to be honest, what happened on the field, I'm not sure how much of it actually matters. Certainly, this wasn't a football game where the Steelers played down to their opponent in the Denver Broncos. They kept the Broncos in this game. The Broncos kept themselves in this game with some really strange plays. Think about it this way. Rather than being upset about the fact that the Steelers lost 17-24, here's something you can be happy about. Think about this. The Steelers are on a six-game winning streak. This is what it took in order for the Steelers to lose a football game. This would have been a much different story if the Broncos were out here and just dominated the Steelers from the word go, much like the Jaguars did a week ago, right? Imagine that the Broncos did something similar to what the Jaguars did a week ago to the Steeler team, and the Steelers lose, 24-6 in dominating fashion. They're unable to get first downs. You watch the Phillip Lindsay's running all over the Steeler defense, but Case Keenum's able to convert some play actions and some of the stuff down the field that he was in this game to Emmanuel Sanders, right? Imagine all of that. Imagine the Steeler offense doesn't have the kind of game it has. It has more of the game it did against the Jacksonville Jaguars. that would be a game that would be concerning. That would be truly frustrating. You know, you start seeing yourself, what is actually going on with this Steeler team? But that's not what happened. Look at what had to happen in order for this team to lose a football game after winning six straight. They went to Mile High, and they start off with a 10-play drive down the field, going to kick a field goal. It's blocked. And it's blocked on a play where it looked like it was leaping, and it should have been called. But because he didn't line up over the center, he actually lined up over the guard, it was not leaping. And a great play by Simmons, he blocks the field goal. The Steelers, instead of being up 3-0, are tied 0-0. And the Broncos used that field position they got from blocking the field goal to go down and get a field goal of their own. So instead of having a 3-0 lead for the Steelers, it's a 3-0 lead for the Denver Broncos. A 6-point turnaround on that blocked field goal. That's just one drive into the game. That's one Steeler drive into the game. The next Steeler drive, things get even stranger. A 12-play, 70-plus yard drive that ends with a 3rd-and-1 terrific play call from Randy Feigner. Terrific execution by Ben, the offensive line, James Conner. It's a fake to Conner. Grimble comes, releases over the middle of the field, wide, wide open. Got just green grass in front of him. All he has to do is beat the safety on his way to the end zone. Goes to run him over at the goal line and fumbles. Fumbles out of the end zone for a touchback. So instead of the Steelers being up 7-3, and remember, they really should have been up 3-0 if it weren't for the blocked field goal. So instead of being up 10-0, they're down 3-0 after that play. A 13-point turnaround in the first two drives of this football game. And the Steelers lost by 7 on a crazy interception, by the way, but we're not going to get there just yet because we still have to talk about all the craziness that happens from here on out. The Steelers miss an easy out and what looked like an easy out and up to Juju, and Ben overthrows it. I mean, that's Ben this season. I guess you can't really blame him, but my goodness, you know, Juju and the Steelers did a great job in this team or in this game beating this team down the field, beating the Broncos down the football field and exploiting them for big plays. Missed him on that one. James Washington had an opportunity to do a little catch and run touchdown of his own that he dove for the ball for whatever reason. I don't know if he misjudged it, if he didn't think he could get underneath. It certainly looked like he should be able to get underneath it. And for a guy who was so good in college, I mean, this is why the Steelers drafted him, is to be this deep threat. For him to misjudge that one in that way, I mean, even the fact that he dove for it, right? Forget the fact that I think he probably could have run underneath it and caught that one and maybe on his way for a touchdown. Maybe his momentum takes him out of bounds, but maybe he scores on that play too. But the fact that he dove for it, right? Even then, he doesn't catch it. And here's a guy who in training camp and in preseason was making combat catch after combat catch. That's what he made his name on in preseason and training camp. That's why we were all excited about him in the regular season. Now, he's gone away, but here he was in a big moment in this one. Can't come up with a play. James Conner has a nice catch and run in the fourth quarter to put the Steelers in at least field goal range. And as his legs are taken out from underneath him, he loses control of the football, fumbles. The ball does not roll out of bounds like it did for Xavier Grimble. Instead, it stays inbounds and is recovered by Bradley Roby. The Steelers give up points there. And it finishes up with the strangest interception at the end of the game. A defensive tackle that was blocked into the throwing lane. Go back and watch that play. The defensive tackle is blocked so well by Pouncey that he has no choice but to just put his hands up in the throwing lane, and he comes down with the football. This is what it took for the Steelers to lose a football game. This is what it took. Blocked field goal, fumble out of the back of the end zone, couple missed plays down the football field, including one to James Washington that seemed like it was going to be a routine catch and run touchdown. You've got the James Conner fumble where the ball wasn't even touched. His legs were taken out from underneath him and he fumbled. And then you have an interception on the last play by a defensive tackle. That's what it took for this team to lose a football game, because otherwise they were on the goal line, on the 2-yard line, looking to score and take this game at least to overtime and potentially go for the win on a 2-point conversion. That's where the Steelers were against the Denver Broncos. That actually should make you feel good, right? Because as many mistakes, as many stupid things happen in this football game. They were in it until the bitter end. And it, you know, we talked about this against the Cleveland Browns early back in week one. That was a tie that should have felt like a win because of as many mistakes as the Steelers made against the Browns in that game, they should have gotten blown out. And if you look at what happened in this football game and all of the craziness that went against the Steelers in this game, they should have gotten blown out, but they didn't. And you know why? Because they played really, really well. This was not a Steeler team playing down to the Broncos. This was a lot of silly things happening, a lot of strange things happening. That's why Open was saying this was a really, really strange football game. But it wasn't one where I come out of it thinking any less of this football team. It wasn't one where I come out of it saying, boy, Mike Tomlin did a terrible coaching job here, right? Did he not coach Xavier Grimble to just kind of make the guy miss and cut up field rather than trying to run the guy over? I don't know. Am I really blaming Grimble, though? I mean, Grimble's one of the biggest dudes on the field. Anyone who's seen him at training camp up close, I mean, the guy is gigantic. So the fact that he wanted to run over a safety, I don't blame him. He's a gigantic dude. Would it have been smarter of him to try and just make a miss on his way to the end zone? Sure. But you know, 9 times out of 10, he's just going to run that safety over and it's going to be a touchdown. This just happened to be, you know, the one time where he fumbles out of the end zone. It's a strange game, man. It's a strange game. The Steelers had 500 yards of total offense in this game. 500 plus yards of total offense in this game. And here's what's even stranger about that. They had 500 yards of total offense. Their two touchdowns, the first one, a Chris Boswell pass to Alejandro Villanueva. Our kicker threw a touchdown pass to our starting left tackle. In a game where our offense got 500 yards of total offense, one of our touchdowns was kicker throws to left tackle. And the other one was a one-play, 97-yard catch and run from Juju. That catch and run from Juju, terrific. Terrific play. You know what's funny about it is it's almost becoming routine for him. Like, it was an exciting play, and I get it. But I didn't even, as a Steeler fan, I didn't even get up and cheer because it was, not to say it was ho-hum from him, because how can you have a 97-yard ho-hum touchdown? But he did this against Detroit a year ago. That was a spectacular play. He then did the same thing, you know, what was it, 2 months later against the New England Patriots on a catch and run down the sideline in that one to set up what would eventually be the Jesse James play. His ability to make those big plays down the field is why he is so dominant right now in the NFL, because teams have to respect the fact that he can beat you deep. And he's such a tough mismatch underneath, right? When he's covered by a linebacker or a nickel corner, his physicality and all of that makes him impossible to cover underneath. And you add to that his ability to line up on the outside and beat guys down the field. And we saw that in this game with that 97-yarder where he outran a couple guys, gave a stiff arm to one of them, and then, you know, just outran the other one. Fantastic play. But, you know, you also saw that last week when the Steelers were in desperation mode. They lined him up on the outside against Jalen Ramsey, who had had a terrific football game, shutting down Antonio Brown for the most part, other than the broken play where AB scored the touchdown. And it was Juju who caught a back shoulder pass against Jalen Ramsey, and then another one down the sideline against AJ Bouye, who was also terrific in that game. Juju's a star, man. Juju's a star. And he's got over 1,000 yards receiving now after this game. He had 180-plus yards in this game. That 97-yarder was terrific. But those were the two touchdowns. In a game where your offense has 500 yards of total offense and the fact that your touchdowns are a kicker throwing to your left tackle and a one-play 97-yard touchdown, strange. It's a weird game. It's just a weird game. I can't explain it. But I don't know. I can't come out of this game and really be upset or worried about this team. Are there parts of this game that I come out and I say, boy, this is really concerning. This is something that other teams can attack or something like that? Certainly not offensively, right? I don't think there's anything in this game offensively that really concerned me other than the fact they just made so many mistakes. They can't make these mistakes. You know, they make these mistakes against Denver. Clearly they lost this game, right? And look what it took. Look how many mistakes it took for that to happen, for them to lose this game. You know, projecting out to playing the Chargers and playing New Orleans and playing New England over the next month. Look, here's the thing that concerns me coming out of this one is how many points they left out there, right? I mean, you go down the list. So they had the blocked field goal, that's 3 points. Then you had the Grimble touchdown. That's another 7. So that's 10 total points. You had the missed Juju out and up. They got to convert that play. I mean, Juju's wide, wide open. Ben, you got to hit that. That's another 7 points they left out there. That's 17 points. James Washington, don't dive for that ball. Just bring it down like you did all in college. I mean, that's why you were brought on this team, is to replace Martavis Bryant. If he doesn't dive, if he just brings that in, it's at least 3, right? Because it puts the Steelers in field goal range. He probably walks that thing right into the end zone, though, because he had both the corner and safety beat. He probably runs that thing right into the end zone. Let's say James Washington converts that into a touchdown. That's another 7 points. That's 24 points left out there. We haven't even gotten to the James Conner fumble just yet. That happened at the Detroit 21-yard line. Let's say the Steelers don't convert that one into a touchdown. Let's give them just 3 on that one. That's 27. And we haven't even talked about the last drive where they were on the 2-yard line and they got no points out of because of the interception, right? They get 7 there. That's 34 points that this offense left on the football field. Now, that is concerning, right? That is something I can come out of this game and say, look, you can't leave 17 points on the field when we're starting to go up against these better offenses. Hey, before we continue, I want to let you guys know about MyBookie. You know, just as important as who you're betting on is who you're betting with. And that's why this season, MyBookie is your best bet. They've been in business for years. They have great reviews online. Their mobile site, it's so easy to use. They're such a fantastic service. I use them every week. 3-team teasers, over-unders, the Steelers and Chargers this week. I haven't seen the over-under yet, but I can tell you right now without looking, bet the over. They have in-game live betting. They have over-unders on fantasy points scored. And they have the most rewarding player perks in the business. If you join now, MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar if you use the promo code LOCKEDON. And if you wait until after 7 p.m., they'll give you an additional $25 of free play if you use the promo code LOCKEDON25. So visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie, MyBookie. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim up to $1,000 in free play. And after 7 p.m., get that additional $25 by using the promo code LOCKEDON25. You play, you win, you get paid. This game might have been played 17-24, but the games we're going to be playing over the next month, they're going to be played in the 30s. And this offense has to be capable of scoring in the 30s and with consistency. Now, again, you look at the reasons why they didn't put up 30-plus points in this game. The Grimble fumble, the blocked field goal, the interception at the end, the Connor fumble. I mean, are these replicable? Are these legitimate problems the Steelers have been having over a given period of time? Is this stuff that's going to happen week in and week out? No, right? These were fluky plays that happened. The Grimble play was a great play. You know, was a great execution of that play. You'd like to see Grimble just walk into the end zone by making that man miss rather than trying to run him over. But as I said, 9 times out of 10, he's just going to run that guy over into the end zone. The Connor fumble, I can't explain why he fumbled that one. The couple missed deep passes, especially the one to Washington, can't explain that either. Other than to say, look, James Washington has been a huge disappointment this year. And maybe it's time to go back to Justin Hunter, a guy who at least can be playing with some level of confidence, because it doesn't feel like there's a level of confidence there right now with James Washington. I guess the same can be said a little bit for James Conner. You do have to be somewhat worried about James Conner. Not to say that Conner had a horrible game overall. He had a bad game against Jacksonville, no doubt about it. He didn't get his head around on the one play, and then the very next play he dropped what was a sure thing touchdown game winner in all likelihood. Those are frustrating from Conner. This week, I thought he was much better running the football. I thought he had a very good drive. The Steelers went kind of a big formation and gave him a bunch of carries in a row, and he got a couple first downs in that drive as well. But the fumbles are the kind of thing that costs running backs their job, and that's the fourth time this year that James Conner has coughed up the ball. You go all the way back to Cleveland and late in that game, and he had a big fumble in that one that kind of changed the momentum. And, you know, did that lead to the fact that the Browns tied that game up and that game ended in a tie? I mean, you know, it was certainly the first part of that momentum swing going the other way. It was a huge momentum swing in this game as well, as the Steelers were looking to take the lead. And after that fumble, the Broncos would go down and take a 24-17 lead, the lead that they would end up winning the game with. There's no backup pushing James Conner. I'm not sitting here saying that the Steelers need to bench Conner or anything like that. He's had a bad couple weeks. He had a bad game against Jacksonville. took his eyes off the football late in the game, didn't turn his head around on the play before that. He didn't have a great game against Jacksonville. He didn't have a great game against Denver because he fumbled, but everything else he did in this game was good. I mean, the runs he had in this game, I thought he ran hard, especially on that one drive the Steelers had where they were kind of feeding him the rock in those big formations. In fact, I think they were giving both AB and Juju time off on that drive. I thought he ran the ball well. I mean, look, everything he did before the fumble, right? The fact that he had that catch and run, making people miss, you know, getting good yards after catch. That's why we love James Conner, right? That's what made James Conner such a great replacement for Le'Veon Bell. The problem is the fumble. He can't fumble in that moment. But you also, because there is no replacement for James Conner, the Steelers can't just so easily go away from him after that. I'm not sure he even touched the ball after he fumbled. I understand why, right? I get it. I understand the idea that, look, you know, you got to be sat down for a bit. And, you know, we gotta move the football and we can't afford big turnovers in this football game. I get that. The problem is there is no replacement for James Conner. And so while the Steelers didn't give Conner the ball, it wasn't like he was sitting the bench. He was out there. He was just kind of used in decoy mode or chipping a defender, that kind of thing. He didn't touch the ball again until second and goal from the 2-yard line or the 3-yard line, wherever we were. That to me is kind of silly from Tomlin, right? Look, you don't have a replacement for Conner, so you can't really lose confidence in the guy. It's all or nothing for Conner, and he's been so good and so integral to this offense that it is a disservice to the offense to not use him even after the fumble. I get not wanting to give him the football, but you have first and goal from the 3-yard line. James Conner has to figure into that game plan. They gave him the ball on second and goal, and third and goal was an RPO, so it could have gone to Conner probably if the snap was better. It probably could have gone to Conner on that play as well. I don't know. I guess the first down play, I don't mind a fade route to Juju. Physical guy. He's had a great day. Try to get him the rock. Conner on second down. I'd probably go Conner on third down there. And then that leaves you with fourth down with an opportunity to throw again. You know, the Steelers, actually, if you look at the Steelers' goal to go play calling in this game, I don't think they gave Conner a run on that before the half either, right? I think those were all passing plays as well. Yeah, it was a pass to Switzer from the 7 to the 2. Then they tried to do the flip play, and then they tried to get it to Juju in the middle of the field on third and goal. By the way, they should not be running the flip play anymore. The flip, can we cool it on the little flip, the flip play over the middle on these goal-to-go situations? The fact that Yannick Ngakoue and the Jaguars knew that was coming and stepped in front of it and all of that, I know Ben scored on that play, but that should have been a little bit of a red flag to say, hey, you know what? Defenses are kind of reading this now. Maybe we go away from it. Maybe we come up with something else on our goal-to-go situations. But they ran it again here to McDonald, and again, it fell incomplete. I think the Steelers, they probably should have used Conner in those moments, too, second and goal from the 2, third and goal from the 2. They did use him in that in the last drive. Probably want to go to him one more time there. But regardless, right? Connor's got to play better. There is no backup for Conner. The point here is there is no backup for Conner. So the fact that he's fumbling and we all feel like, boy, Conner's in this weird funk right now, he's got to work himself out of that. And the Steelers got to work him out of it as well, because it's not going to be like Jalen Samuels is now your starter going forward because we can't trust Conner because of these fumbles or because of his poor play. He's got to work himself out of this funk. I think he will. He's been terrific all year. He's going through a bit of a thing right now, but he's got to work himself out of that one. But as I said, overall, the Steelers cannot be leaving this many points on the field. They did this against Cincinnati about a month ago. They did this against Baltimore as well, where they left some points out there. I wouldn't say it's characteristic of this team right now, but they've done it enough times now where it can be a worry going into this game against LA and then against New England and New Orleans to follow, right? You don't want to come out of those games feeling like woulda, coulda, shoulda, especially, you know, in a games that are likely to be played in the 30s, the Steelers are gonna have some opportunities to score, and they have to cash those in, the kind that they didn't cash in against the Denver Broncos. Defensively, coming out of this one, am I worried about what the Broncos were able to do, what they were able to have success doing in this game? You know, run defense wise, we're not a great run defense team right now without Stephon Tuitt. Teams are so easily able to attack. Tyson Alualu's side, and he's not playing well right now. He's getting pushed off the football with ease. the Steelers, because they're without Tua and they have to go to this short rotation on the defensive line, felt like the Steelers got very, very tired in this football game as it wore on. Am I concerned about the Steelers' run defense? Yes. But is the Steelers' run defense going to cost them a Super Bowl? In all likelihood, no. I mean, it's more likely going to be the secondary and the fact that teams are going to be beating this team down the field. And that's really where you saw the Broncos have some success that, you know, should be worrying, right? The fact that the Steelers have not given up big plays down the field for the past month, the fact that the Steelers have been pretty consistent in getting off the field on third down. And yet in this football game, Case Keenum was able to have some success, you know, parlaying the success that they had running the ball into finding success going down the field to Emmanuel Sanders, finding the tight end, getting mismatches over the middle with linebackers lined up on wide receivers. Yeah, this is the kind of thing that we probably should have seen more of over the past month, but offenses just haven't been able to attack us in that way or haven't wanted to attack us in that way for whatever reason. It's not like, look, here's what's happened over the last month, right? The Steelers have played really, really well defensively, but it's not like Sean Davis and Terrell Edmonds became all-pro safeties over the past month. It's not like John Bostic and Vince Williams became all-pro inside linebackers. It's not like Cody Sensabaugh became an all-pro corner, right? These are all players that we knew going in. We had some, you know, we had worry about them. And here we are against Denver, and our run defense wasn't good. We were getting beat down the football field. They were finding success over the middle. Not a ton, right? Because it was just Case Keenum and the Denver Broncos, but you're going to see more of that likely against the Chargers, against the Patriots, against the Saints. Teams are going to be able to move the football against our defense. Again, it's not an all-pro defense right now. This idea that this Steeler defense was getting good enough that they could legitimately hold teams like LA and New England and New Orleans to under 30 points was always going to be a pipe dream. Now, what I did like coming out of this game and what I've really liked from the Steeler defense over the past month is the pass rush. And that was there again in this game when it counted. It wasn't a consistent pass rush. It wasn't like they were getting to Keenum all day. They were certainly getting pressure and making him move around the pocket, but they only had two sacks in this game. They have five quarterback hits. You know, they were getting to Keenum a little bit, but he was able to avoid the rush and make throws, you know, on the run or under duress. So credit to him for that. What I like to see was that last drive, right? The third down on that last drive. The Broncos got themselves into third and manageable on a couple runs, which is exactly what the Jaguars did a week ago, but they weren't able, in a lot of cases, to convert on third down. The Steelers in this game, you know, Keenum had much more success than Bortles did. So at third and four, with just about, 4 minutes on the clock right there, if they don't get that stop there, then we start talking about the Broncos being able to run the clock out and the Steelers offense never getting another chance with the football to go down and tie this football game. So third and four, huge play for this defense. Felt like it could be an easy pass over the middle like we've seen the Broncos offense have to one of their tight ends or to Emmanuel Sanders in a kind of a mismatch over the middle. That didn't happen. And the reason it didn't happen is because of a great pass rush by both Javon Hargrave and Cam Hayward, two guys who have played terrifically well over the past month. And Hargrave has really come on in these last couple weeks. The interior of the Steelers' defensive line, if they can be as big a pass-rushing threat as Bud Dupree and T.J. Watt have been from the outside, then I can start to believe in this Steeler defense going forward in these games like the Chargers, Patriots, and Saints. The idea that we're going to be holding those teams down in the 30s and not allowing big plays and all of that and not allowing consistent drives, that's always a pipe dream. But, you know, you watch what happened against between the Chiefs and Rams a week ago on Monday Night Football. That was a game where defensively there were no big plays happening down the field in the secondary. The big plays were because teams were getting pressure on the quarterback and forcing mistakes that way. And so if you know, these games coming up against these big teams are going to be about who gets more pressure on the quarterback. I love where the Steeler pass rush is right now. And it wasn't just, you know, Hargrave and Hayward on that play. You saw Bud Dupree have some success speed rushing, and there was a holding call against the tackle there because he held Bud Dupree on a speed rush. Watt was probably limited in this game by the wrist injury. Probably didn't get a chance to use his hands as much as he wanted to. Hopefully he's good going forward. But I like where the Steelers pass rush is right now I don't have a ton of worry there. And again, the pass rush to me is the most important part. So, you know, the run defense isn't good, whatever. The pass defense isn't good. It wasn't going to be good against these better offenses. But I'm much, much more pleased with where this defense is as a pass rushing unit. And so coming out of this football game, as I said, it's hard for me to really be concerned about this game or to read into this game and say, well, boy, this really hurts the Steelers' chances against the Chargers or against the Patriots or against the Saints. Right? This team has to be more consistent offensively. I like the way that they're moving the football. They have to execute better in clutch moments. They have to convert in moments. They have to not fumble out of the back of the end zone. They have to not fumble when they get their legs taken out from underneath them. They have to not dive for the football when they're looks like they can just run underneath it for a catch touchdown. They have to not block the defensive tackle into the throwing lane. I mean, it's just such a strange football game, right? I'm not coming out of this one worried. I think the Steelers did what they had to do in this game offensively. They moved the football down the field. Weird things happen. Yes, we come away with a loss. Yes, it hurts us in the division race. Yes, it hurts us in the race for home field advantage and the two seed. And we'll talk about all of that tomorrow. But this was just a weird thing where East Coast team goes west. We move on now to a huge game against the LA Chargers. I'm excited. I'm still excited. All of the questions that we have about this football team, about where they stand, are they as good as the Patriots? Are they as good as the Chargers? Are they as good as the Saints? Those questions are about to come to an end a month from now. We will know because this team will be playing against the Chargers, playing against the Patriots, playing against the Saints over the next month. You should be excited. I know this was a stupid Steeler loss and, you know, run pass, all that, you know, the run pass ratio. Look, they ran the ball 13 times. They threw the ball 56 yards. They moved the ball for 500 yards. If they had scored more early, right? If that 13-point swing doesn't happen early in this game and they're up 10-0 and they hold a lead, Connor would have seen his carries down the stretch, right? So don't be worried. Playing down to their opponent. They got 500 yards of total offense and they had a bunch of really stupid turnovers in this game that are not recreatable. Right? The one Ben interception, the one where he threw it to Chris Harris, right into Chris Harris's chest on kind of a blooper mesh route, that was a stupid turnover, the kind of thing that Ben does from time to time. But I'm not worried about this kind of thing. I like where the Steeler offense is. Juju's playing at a high level. AB's making big plays. Switzer's being integrated into the offense more. The offensive line, by the way, played really, really well in this game. In a game where Chucks Okorafor, our rookie right tackle, had to start as a third stringer. And yet Ben Roethlisberger was not under pressure all day. He had time to throw. He had time to dissect this Denver defense. Those are all things that should make you happy going into these games. And the Steelers are healthy going into these games as well. Relatively healthy, I should say. So, all right, that's going to do it for me today. Thank you all for listening. If you want to leave feedback, SteelerCountry@gmail.com is the email address. You can follow me on Twitter @SteelerCountry, and I'll be back tomorrow for more Locked On Steelers.